Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him, he's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Less than a week to Thanksgiving.
What?
We will have shows next week, by the way.
What?
We will.
What?
We have to record Monday next week.
What?
Because I'll be in Vegas after that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, anniversary time?
Yeah, sort of. We'll be back for our anniversary itself. We're bottling our anniversary ale.
That's right.
A week from Saturday.
This is like the family thing for you guys, Vegas, on Thanksgiving?
It's me and the wife and my father-in-law. That's where I proposed. Was we went there for Thanksgiving, and I proposed on Thanksgiving. We got married a year later on Black Friday.
Bam.
And then last year we didn't do anything.
Was a lot of years in doing something.
You know, I mean, our last real trip. I mean, we went to last year. We went to Disney with our niece and my sister-in-law.
That was definitely a trip for you guys, for sure.
That was a trip.
this definitely sounds like the vacation that Nate wanted to go on.
And, I got to go to an Angels game.
Mm, wow. Okay.
And, before that, our last trip was, she had gone up to Seattle to do some work around my birthday, and I'd gone up for the weekend. Mm. But other than just that one weekend thing, our last trip was the honeymoon. So it's coming up on 2 years ago. Yeah. And, You know, after you have the wedding, you're paying off all of these wedding bills and all this other bullshit, and you've got a lot of stuff going on. But I'm really like, I need to get away. Because my only getaway has been like to go visit my dad in Vermont, and that's not a vacation.
That's not a vacation.
Seeing
family like use vacation time.
It's not a vacation time.
I mean, like, it's family time, which is great. I don't want to like.
Sure.
But it's not vacation.
No, it's not. Hey, I'm going to go and have a great time. That's not what it is. I mean, maybe for some people, but.
Well, I mean, I have a good time when I but it's not, there's a difference.
Yeah, there's absolutely a difference. I mean, Kareem goes to North Carolina, about four times a year?
It's getting up there, yeah.
Something like that. But you never come back and go, oh my God, I had the best time ever. It's like, woo, Splash Mountain. No
Splash Mountain.
No Splash Mountain. But yeah, it's time, and even we're only going to be gone for, I think we fly out on Tuesday and we're back on Friday.
Oh, so that's a quick one.
It really is a quick one, and
enough time to get into a little bit of trouble, but not a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, you know, Vegas has a shelf life. Vegas has a real short shelf life. And about 3 days is about how long you want to be there.
I think I did Vegas once for. I think you might have even known me when I did Vegas like this. I was probably like right after I lost my job from USAA.
Mm-hmm. I knew you then.
I went for like 6 or 7 days.
That's too long.
No, because like what happened was I went there for a wedding, for my cousin's wedding, and I was the best man. I wasn't the best man, was I? No, I was like one of the groomsmen.
I don't know.
I was a groomsman. I was just a groomsman.
Surprised you came back with all your organs.
No. So, I mean, like, I just gotten paid out. I just left you. I got let go from USAA. I cashed out my IRA. I had like 8 G's, 9 G's. Like, I felt good.
And you went to Vegas with that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
And I think I spent maybe about $3,000 while I was there. Like, $3,500. And probably only $500 of it was on gambling. The rest of it was, I paid for,
hookers and blow.
So my uncle, God rest his soul, wasn't going to buy like the dinner for the wedding parties.
Right.
After the rehearsal dinner. Like he was just buying my cousin and his wife.
Right.
And I was like, I'm a Casey, so I better, you know, so I spent like $900 like right there buying, you know, a buffet for everybody.
So
and then that night, like I went out and like paid for the strippers and everything on the night before. Like, so I did, I spent a lot of money like that. But then, so I did that for like 4 days. And then this girl that I had met up here in Sacramento
mm-hmm.
was there also. And then I ended up staying with her for three nights while I was there.
Mm-hmm. How many salads did you have to buy her?
Zero. but.
So the only thing you didn't buy was blows. You brought beer.
I don't know. There's one night. It was the night of after the wedding. I woke up the next morning. I was missing the SIM card and battery for my phone. I had a drop of blood on my tuxedo shirt. I made it back to my room. but. Yeah, so, like, I don't know what happened, how I got home, that was back when I was drinking, so I could have bought some blow. The last thing I remember is making my way up to the bar, and this African-American guy that was really tall, like, waving me back towards him, like, in this other group of people, and I don't really remember anything after that. So I wonder if I saw something, heard something. I don't know, but it was a crazy time. But yeah, so
was your butthole sore tonight?
No, not at all. Not at all.
See, now that's why you get an iPhone, because you can't take the battery of the SIM card out.
Yeah.
And I'm wagering you did your own home diabetic test. It was a finger prick. Yeah. It's a drop of blood.
Yeah. So I've never really cared or wanted to go back to Vegas after spending that much money. I did Vegas. I had a great time in Vegas.
Did you have lockjaw the next day?
No, not at all. Like, and then I had amazing sex for like 3 days with this girl that I met. So I mean, like, it was like a great clap. Like,
you got a clap.
No, it was a great capper to the time there. But yeah, so
clap.
No, never yet.
So Vegas for me, I went, my ex-wife and my friend and his ex-wife went, when he lived in Palm Desert. And the four of us drove from Palm Desert to Vegas.
Oh, driving through the desert, boy.
In the rental car. This is when I lived in New York. And we flew out for vacation and I had a Chevy Impala. And we drove from Palm Desert to Vegas and back, and we stayed at Caesar's Palace. Caesar's Palace is really nice.
Yeah.
The room we had two beds, and in the bathroom, there was the glass shower, the tub, and there was a TV in the bathroom, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our bathroom here is not big enough for a TV, but that doesn't mean I don't want a TV in the bathroom. Because I do. So I went that time, then I've gone twice for work, to the Promax conference, and I went with my wife, and that's it. That's it. Those are the only times I've been to Vegas. I went twice for work, once with my wife, and then once with my friend and, both of our ex-wives. So I've stayed at the Mirage, which is not great. I've stayed at Caesars, which is great, and the MGM Grand, which also not great.
Yeah.
But the MGM Grand, the room we were in, there was part of it that had sort of like a living room, and it felt a little like the Mad Men set. Like the sunken living room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. But Vegas not necessarily my thing. I'm not super into gambling.
Right.
When we went the last time, the one thing we did two things that I'm like, I want to do these two things. One, we did the CSI experience at MGM, which was kind of lame. And we went to the Mob Museum, which was really cool.
Yeah, that would probably be pretty cool.
The Mob Museum is really cool. So I don't know what, if anything, and we saw Absinthe was the show that we saw, which is still playing out in front of Caesars. Mm. So I'm trying to figure out what because I don't want to just gamble.
Yeah.
And so if you don't want to just gamble all the time, then there's only so many things you're going to do.
Yeah.
So I want to find at least one other thing where I'm like, yeah, I want to go see that or I want to go do that. I thought about the Neon Graveyard, but that's not anything anybody else in the party wants to do.
What is that? Is that
the Neon Graveyard?
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all the signs and.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
Everybody else will be looking at you like, what? That would be cool. I'd be down for that.
Right. But you're not going with us.
Sorry.
Come on, Jason.
Yeah. No, my wife won't let me. She knows I get crazy in Vegas, baby.
That one story. Well, we've only got the one thing to go on. Kareem, do you have a Vegas story?
I don't have a Vegas story. I've only been to Vegas in passing. Shit, the longest I've been in Vegas was back when my grandmother passed. I came back and I had a 4 or 5 hour layover. And I just happened to run into a friend of mine from here in Vegas. Well, actually, we ended up on the same plane from North Carolina.
Okay.
Not even knowing that we would both be there. And so we went and got food at the Venetian and kind of walked around there. And that's about it.
We're staying at the Venetian this time.
Yeah. Nice.
Very, very exciting. Very exciting. So,
there was 1 year, I almost went 1 year. My brother had to go for work and he went during the time of, the AVN Awards.
Sure.
That's the time to go, boy. Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
To meet Ron Jeremy?
No. I'm not going there to meet Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, but you'll still meet Ron Jeremy. Whether you're going there for that or not, you know that's going to happen. You're going to meet the Hedgehog. There's no way around.
He's going to seek me out. You want to get my autograph? I know.
Sure. It's all of that going on. Vegas. Kareem, you should go to Vegas for a few days.
I might have to do something.
Yeah, you do. You need to grab Barbara and go to Vegas do like a long weekend in Vegas. Or actually, midweek is the best time to go. Because stuff's cheaper. Go see a couple shows, have some drinks, have some nice food, come back.
Yeah, go through like Monday through Wednesday or like Monday through Thursday or something.
Or, yeah, Tuesday through Thursday is always good. When we were at the MGM Grand that year, there was a college basketball tournament being played at the MGM Grand.
Oh, dope.
I'm not really into college basketball, but.
Yeah, might go for Summer League 1 year.
Yeah, Summer League. They've got the hockey team now. They're going to have the Raiders soon.
So
it's not like there isn't plenty of stuff to do. Oh, that's what I should do. I should check to see if the Vegas Knights are playing.
Yeah.
Damn it. Why didn't I think of this sooner?
You should have.
I really should have.
You fucked it up.
All right. Now, hold on. I'm going to stop the show for a second because I want to look this up. NHL.com. This is really exciting podcasting. It's a good pod.
Good pod, baby.
Good pod. Let's see. Schedule. Yeah, you use, great. Hey, by the way, the NHL.com uses, you might have heard they use, cookies.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they felt the need to fucking tell me they use cookies. Thanks, dicks. Yes, I want it Eastern time. All right. What we got here? Golden Knights. Son of a bitch.
Away?
Is it sold out?
No, they're in Arizona.
Oh.
Well, here's the thing. They have a game versus the Calgary Flames the day I fly back.
Of course.
So there you go. So no Golden Knights for me.
Sorry, buddy.
Son of a bitch!
You almost had it.
Son of a bitch!
You almost had it.
I know. I'm glad I stopped the podcast for that.
Wow. Everybody else was on bated breath.
Yep.
They're waiting.
They're like, how did you not check this before, and why are you stopping the show for this, you asshole? I don't know. All right. So.
God damn it.
Let's get to this. It's time for our wacky animal stories.
Oh.
It's wacky animal stories in the news. And we start with some Japan action. That's right. You think you've had a rough commute? Well, a Japanese salaryman got jumped by a wild boar on the way to work.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
It's amazing. let's see. It's a 48-year-old man strolling up to the station in the suburbs west of downtown Fukuoka. They were at Fukuoka a little after 7 in the morning. He looks calm and relaxed, perhaps going over the details of a business meeting or whatever, until the moment when his mental focus was no doubt shifted when he was suddenly being attacked by a wild boar. So you guys can take a look at it up on the screen. Oh, it's not going to load up for you. Of course not.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, there he goes. He's down. the boar comes out, takes him out at the knees, so he gets knocked down.
Damn it!
Hold on, let me try casting that again for you guys in the room.
I actually saw it the other day. It's hilarious.
It really is. Let's see. Will it connect this time? There we go. All right. Let's start this again for for the gentleman in the room. So, just, there's a wild boar running around. There he is.
Yeah.
He's running. He's like fenced in next to, it looks like a convenience store. He comes running out. Oh, takes the legs out from under this guy. He gets knocked down. Then the boar comes back and hits him again. And he's holding him off. He's fending off the boar with his briefcase. And then the boar runs away.
Oh my God.
I wonder if it was because of the leather briefcase.
That's an actual. He's just down. He's just going down the alleyway.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
Wow.
It's about 6/10 of a mile away from some nearby mountains, and it's believed the animal wandered into town from the foothills. Now, after running into a dead end in the gap between a pharmacy and its surrounding chain link fence, the boar turned around and dashes back the way it came in, just when that guy was walking through. Oh, it was so unfortunately.
Man.
Wild boar was about 3.3 feet long. It barreled right into his left knee, sent him flying through the air, landed flat. Now the boar is angry, turned back toward him while he was on the ground, charged him again to stab him with its tusk. Now these are, you're thinking these are pigs. No, they're boars. They've got a tusk.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, that's, he's probably bleeding after that.
And it bit him on the left thigh.
Oh, just didn't let him know it cared.
There were two cars that came by and blasted their horns, so that distracted the boar. The man was taken to the medical station care room where he received first aid before being taken to a local hospital, treated for wounds on both legs, including almost a 3-inch gash on his left thigh where the boar bit him that required 17 stitches.
Yeah.
Oh, or 13 stitches. Unbelievable. As for the boar, it was spotted later in the afternoon in a coastal area about a mile away from the station. It was exterminated by members of a local hunting club. Oh, no! It's a reminder that while wild boar may be adorable, if they're out in a family jog in their natural environments, they're definitely not the sort of animals you want to approach and try to pet.
No.
That's an unfortunate happening. Meanwhile, in Oklahoma, it wasn't a wild boar. It was, it was a buck. Going buck wild in Oklahoma.
Oh! You okay?
Yeah. Travis Hurst was putting together a bonfire for his church Wednesday night when this buck came out of the woods and straight up to them.
Gets closer and closer, and we're thinking, well, we might feed him or something.
Then the deer charges Hurst.
He stabs my legs and stabs my arms and everything, and he's wearing me smooth out. And finally, I'm able to let him go.
After about 5 minutes, the deer eventually turned around and went back into the woods.
He got the best of me. I think that he's had some human contact, because he wasn't afraid of us at all.
Captain Wade Farrar with the Department of Wildlife says deer are in rut right now, meaning they're frisky and ready to fight.
He's going to try to act like a big bad deer, and if he thinks we're a threat, he's going to treat us just like he would a big buck out in the woods.
He says anytime you come across deer or any wildlife, it's best to leave it alone.
Never a good idea at all. Just it's best to contact us and let us take care of it.
Hurst says he learned a few lessons from this experience, hoping to never be in this dangerous position again.
Not posing a threat to him, I might keep my hands down. And, you know, I think that doing this caused him to charge me.
Looking back and watching the video, Hurst says he's thankful his injuries aren't worse.
I've had a lot of people check on me, call me, ask me what happened because the video doesn't tell what happened. But he's okay and I'm okay and everything's going to be all right.
Guess he realized he's not a big buck.
He put his hands out with his fingers spread to... By the way, to a deer, that's got to look like another set of antlers on a buck.
Yeah.
Dipshit. From Japan to Oklahoma, the animals are taking over. Up is down, down is up. Trump is president. Nothing makes sense.
They're doing a bonfire for
the church.
For the church. Yeah. Well. Maybe he was a Trump supporter, and it was God letting him know that he did wrong.
Now he's in Oklahoma. There's a pretty good chance of it.
well, there's some seats flipped there, so.
Sure. Anything's possible. I think the real lesson is don't start a fire for the church. Now, what do Red and Blue America have in common? Well, craft breweries and more.
Unless you're in Sacramento.
Well, we have craft breweries.
No, but we, the guy that was that Republican guy got ran out, right?
I don't know what you're talking
the
about.
The seven shot, the guy that was over in East Sac that made all the...
Oh, well, that guy was... That's not being a Republican. That was a...
Being an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought they were one and the same. Sorry.
So there are some things that are as part of American experience, whether you're driving or whether you're biking across Manhattan or driving a 4x4 through Montana. NPR analyzed 11 touchstones of American life and how common they were in districts that voted Republican and Democrat during the elections. Look at NPR trying to find common ground and kumbaya. And see, this is why the Democrats can never be in charge. This type of bullshit right here.
Oh, I hate this shit.
All right, so let's start out with this interesting thing. Where are the most Fortune 500 companies located? Because, by the way, Republicans will tell you over and over again, Republicans are good for business. 75% of Fortune 500 companies are in Democratic districts.
Hmm.
Not Republican districts.
Hmm. Really?
Well, can you? There's a graphic.
Yep. Yep. I see it.
I already knew that. Damn it!
Yeah. The most there's 36 in New York, and 12 in New York City. How many districts don't have any 255? Now, Starbucks. You would think Starbucks. That's going to be like 90-10, right? Nope. There are 63% of Starbucks are in Democratic districts, and 34% are in Republican districts.
I believe that.
Major sports venues. You know, the Republicans, they love their sports and their... 58% in Democratic districts.
Hmm.
40 in Republican districts.
Hmm.
All right. Let's see. Where are the craft breweries? That one's a little closer. 56% Democratic districts and 42% in Republican districts.
I thought that was the other way around.
Craft breweries? No. No, 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 no.
Look at it. It's like the whole coast, the whole western coast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the whole west coast is blue.
Pretentious assholes.
The Democrats? Hey, where are the Amtrak stations? You know, public transit. Republicans hate that. Well, that one's really close. It's actually 52% of Amtrak stations are in Democratic districts and 46 of them are in Republican districts. What? Republicans on mass transit? Where are the museums? There's actually more museums in Republican districts, 50 to 48%.
Maybe they should go to them sometime.
Right?
Well, actually, some of those.
The military. We all love the military, right? Where are they? Well, they are almost exactly divided, 49% Democratic districts, 48% in Republican districts. State fairgrounds, that's where the Republicans take the lead, with 54 to 43.
I wonder if that has anything to do with rural areas.
Where are the hospitals, Jason? Well, 58% of them are in Republican districts, so if you want some healing, you better go there. 40% are in Democratic districts. The most, 77 both in Kansas, 01, voted Republican, and South Dakota, which is the entire state. You know where else the Republicans do well? Mobile home parks. Because you know how thriving economically mobile home parks are. 67% of mobile home parks are in Republican districts.
Believe that.
And only 30% in Democratic districts.
There's a shitload of them in the South.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota is a whole fucking mobile home park.
Apparently South Dakota is as well. Let's see, the most, 526 in Florida's second, which is Panama City in the Tallahassee suburbs. There are 20 districts, this surprised me, in the country that don't have any mobile home parks.
Where are they? So I can move there.
this is going to be, House of Representatives divvied up. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Where are the farms? Well, 77% of those are in Republican districts because you can't have a farm in the city.
Yeah.
is pretty much it. There's a lot of farms on the Oregon coast in California, and up into Washington, as well as Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and parts of New York. So yeah, that's where we have our most common ground is military installations and museums. Ironically, and Amtrak stations. So get together over a microbrew with your Republican friends and
yeah,
or your Democratic friends. I don't know. I don't know how you vote. I'm not asking. Vote however you like. I just want you to own it.
You can do whatever you like.
So there's only 8 districts without a brewery, without a microbrewery.
Yeah.
Compared to 20 districts without mobile home parks.
Correct.
I just thought that's a funny, it's a funny number.
It really is. It's
considering just.
Well, look, everybody wants a microbrewery, and not everyone wants a mobile home park.
Yeah. True that.
Now it's time for the airing of the fucking grievances.
All right, let's start with you, Kareem. What's been causing an itch in your BVDs?
I'm going to try to stay away from my normal white women. They're making it hard, though.
Yeah.
They're making it difficult to not go there this week. But I'm going to go with the Republican Party and voter suppression.
That's a good one.
That bothers you?
That bothers me.
Okay.
If you have a voter machine, then you should have your voting machines where people can vote. The fact that the state of Georgia had 700 in bubble wrap, and I think it actually was more than that, and you have people standing in line for 3 to 5 hours to vote. That doesn't make no goddamn sense.
Seems like a lot.
That's ridiculous. So, the midterm elections are coming. You know that you're going to have a bigger voter turnout. And you're not going to open up polling places? That's voter suppression.
In the South, they seem to want to close a lot of them.
Yeah. Now the Republicans are complaining about the lady in Tallahassee. She was appointed by Jeb Bush.
Oh, the elections.
Yeah, the elections lady. She was appointed by Jeb Bush. Rick Scott, you were the fucking governor for 8 years. You had a chance to fix it.
Had a chance.
You had a chance to allocate resources for voting. You didn't do it. Fuck you, Rick Scott. And the Republican Party. And then there was another state. Oh, was it? I think it's Wisconsin where they lost the governorship.
Yes, Scott Walker.
Yeah, and they're trying to strip the governor of his power now because they lost. So it's not voter suppression. Fuck the Republican Party. That's where I am.
Jason, what's been bugging you?
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
Oh, wait a second. And because you won't stand up to Donald fucking Trump, fuck you, the Republican Party.
Fair point.
Yeah. I want to make sure I get her name right.
Christiana.
No, it's not Christiana.
Mel Gelbart.
No. So this. So Chris and I, there are these Eichler homes that are off of Southland Park, and there are these homes that were designed. I think we've talked about them before. By this guy that was really influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Right. Right.
So these homes on the outside don't look very beautiful because it's the backyard is like they have these the whole back of the house is glass.
Okay.
So like it's a really neat feature. So we're always driving through those neighborhoods. Like on weekends we'll go get coffee and donuts maybe or something and drive around the neighborhood and see if we can find any that are for sale maybe or you know. Get a glimpse inside one.
Sure.
Well, there's a house that was for sale over in that area, so we decided that we'd check this house out. And it was a corner. It was at the end of a street, kind of in a corner back lot. So I was like, oh, they might have a really big backyard. They're on the back of a green green area. Maybe it'll be a big backyard. It did not. And there was a the realtor, her name was Tara Palavan, was in there, and she would not stop talking to me. Like, and I wrote my name down, mm-hmm. and I left my phone number, and I told her what we were looking for, exactly what we were looking for, and what was very important to us when we're looking for.
Sure.
And like, hey, we're not really necessarily looking to move from where we are, but if one of these Eichler homes comes up and it's the right price, my wife and I would probably really like to buy one, or at least consider it, mm-hmm. depending on how much it is. That's all I said. That's what I wanted. I'm an architect also, and I do all these other things. I'm like, oh, okay, well, yeah, we were thinking about doing some other stuff, so I'll keep you in mind. The next day, she sends me a video message. Like, I didn't even listen to it. She calls me later on that day. She starts sending me, what's that?
Does she have a boob out?
No. She started calling me. Like, she's called me. Like, my wife was there. Like, so she's like, called me, like, 5 times in the last week. She's requested to be my friend on Facebook. And I'm just like, and so, like, the homes, that, like, here's the thing. Is like, it's one thing wanting to go out and get a sale. I get it. I get you're a salesperson. That's what you got to do. You got to hustle, all right? So, but the thing is what she's been sending me aren't homes that are anywhere near what I was fucking asking for. Like, she didn't even listen to what I fucking had to say and what I'm looking for. She's trying to get me into what she wants to get me into. And that, right away, I don't want to fucking talk to you anymore because you obviously did not listen to what we wanted and how much we're looking to spend. And what, like, she's automatically just sending us the maximum price that we want to go up to. And it's like, no, that's our max price. We should be finding something lower than that. Like, you know what I mean? Oh my God. So not just that. So I pick up the phone the other day. And, like, it was her. I didn't realize it was her. I picked up the phone, and I'm like, oh, hi, Tara. Yeah, okay. And we start talking, and I'm like, well, we're not really necessarily looking right now. Like, we want to stay within, like, a couple, like, 2 or 3 miles from downtown because my wife wants to ride her bike. So some of these houses out in Greenhaven that you're showing us are too far out from where we want to be. But also, we're also thinking about, you know, building on and leveling our garage and building like a granny flat on top of the garage, in the back. We're thinking about doing something like that. And if you're an architect, like you said you are, like you can maybe help me with the drawing of that. I have the general contractor's license. I got everything that I need to do and oversee a job. I just would need an architect to draw up the plans because I need to get permits and I'm going to have plans to get the permit. And then all of a sudden she's not an architect. She doesn't have a cash. She's not, but she sells herself as anyhow. She called me again today. Left me a message for a minute and 30 seconds. A message for a minute and 30 seconds.
Maybe she thinks you're Ron Jeremy.
Oh, ooh, my God!
Maybe she wants to D.
Anyhow, like I'm very fucking annoyed with her, and the reason I'm annoyed with her is because, if you're going to sell somebody something, especially something like a house, all right, mm-hmm. you want somebody to become a customer of the house, A, don't oversell what you fucking do, all right? Don't say that you can do something or that you're an architect when I say that I'm going to need plans drawn up, and you can't draw the fucking plans. You're going to have to go to your brother or somebody else to draw some fucking plans. You're not a fucking architect then, period. You're not an architect. If you can't draw plans for me, then don't call yourself a fucking architect.
Well, maybe she just doesn't have a drafting table.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. You're not going to call yourself an architect if you can't draw fucking plans.
She wants you to bend her over to the drafting table.
Second.
Give me a CAD drawing.
If I tell you that we're looking for a very specific type of home, the Eichler homes, don't send me and tell me how there's this great duplex on the man-made lake in Greenhaven that would be perfect for me to take my daughter, my daughters to, where we could kayak and fish out on like some fucking man-made fucking lake next to the river that's gonna get fucking flooded in the next couple of years when there's a huge rainstorm. Get the fuck out of here. That's not what I'm fucking looking for, man. Like, don't be, like, if you're a fucking salesperson, You listen to what your fucking customer says. And when your customer says, I'm looking for this type of home and that's what I'm looking for, and if I want to, I want to be in the same area that I'm currently in. I don't really want to live out of, like, we're good in this area.
She wants to show you some homes by yourself.
Oh, man.
Without your
Jason's
wife.
Jason's inhaler just made a break for us.
My inhaler knows I'm getting ready to get fucking upset, man.
She wants to show you some homes without Chris.
Chris might be okay with that, all right? As long as she takes off 5% of her commission.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here, though. I mean, seriously, if you're a salesperson, you gotta fucking do your job and you listen to your fucking customer, especially when you're trying to create this relationship. And don't over. I told her from the beginning that I already had a realtor that we were dealing with. She's trying to edge in on his fucking job. I'm not getting rid of the guy that sold us our house. He got us our house.
Yeah, she wants to give you something besides the house. She wants you to do her and while you're looking at the lake.
She'd like to show you a new man cave.
And she
she wants to be the lady in the lake.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a lot.
Fucking A, man. Yeah.
That's a lot. All right. I have something much more important than all of that. So, like a lot of people, I use a crock pot or a slow cooker. And I have a real problem with Target.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, in order to really use your slow cooker to its maximum capability and not have a mess all the time, you want to use a liner, right?
Yeah.
A slow cooker liner. Target, for whatever reason, has decided that they're only going to carry the small size of slow cooker liner. Look, I think it's great that you're servicing the crock pot for the lonely single. But hey, Target, how about you just carry one little lineup with the regular size ones? Just a little bit of it. Nope, small size. Who fucking has a small crock pot? You know what that is? It's a fucking thermos, Jason. It's a thermos.
Yeah, it's a fucking stupid idea.
And that's all they have. That's all they've had. I have turned to Amazon. I've turned to Amazon to get fucking slow cooker liners, and I subscribed.
I was going to ask you, why didn't you just buy
them? I subscribed.
There? Why didn't you just buy it there in the first place? Oh, is this your shirt? Yeah, I get it. Yeah, fuck you, Target.
What the fuck? What the actual fuck?
Okay, yeah, what?
Done with Target.
Done with Target. Fuck Target.
Let's go. I'm not done with Target. I'm going back to Target because I was at Target and there's two dudes stocking shelves right near the video games. And I said, hey guys, can I get somebody to help me out? I need Red Dead Redemption 2. And they're like, yeah. And they yell over to a third guy. And they're like, hey, can you help this gentleman with Red Dead Redemption 2? And he goes, I don't have the keys. And they're like, yeah, you do. And he's like, no, I gave the keys to Brian. Brian was one of the first two original guys. He's like, well, I don't have the keys. Hey, Target, who the fuck has the keys for Red Dead Redemption 2?
Who the fuck had the keys?
I don't know. They found them after like 5 minutes. They figured out who had them. One of these three idiots had them. And it was one of the two who said they didn't have them. They called the other guy over for it. So there's only one set of keys in the whole fucking Target?
You were interrupting them.
To get me No, they were actually working. They were stocking shelves. I mean, they were chatting, but they were stocking shelves, taking stuff out of boxes. They were working. But they didn't know where the fucking keys were. So, Target, get your shit together.
Fucking jerks.
And by the way, now I'm going to transfer over to Walmart. Let me ask you this. Why the fuck is everybody at Walmart? Literally everybody's at Walmart. Do you know why? Because they've got the full-size slow cooker liners there at the fucking Walmart.
Of course.
Literally everybody was there. Like, the entirety of the Sacramento region was at my Walmart.
Holy shit.
I went in there, and like, all of the cash registers are lined back from them. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to get this, and then I'm going to go check out, and I'm going to go through the garden center. That's the key, garden center.
Garden center's all
your key. There was a lineup of 10 people waiting to check out at the garden center.
Get the fuck out of here.
So you know what I did, Jason? I left my cart with my two bags, with my two boxes of slow cooker bags, sitting in the garden center at Walmart. Because fuck all y'all, I am not waiting in line for 20 fucking minutes or more to buy two goddamn bags of slow cooker liners. I'm like, I'm just going to go to Target.
Well, that was a bad idea.
And that's my grievance.
We know how that Target trip turned out.
It did. Well, I got Red Dead Redemption too, so there's that.
I saw that out there.
Oh, I have not yet played it.
You're going to need a couple hours.
Leslie was off, and her big complaint was the controls are all very different.
it
from
is,
what she's used to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the hardest part about the game starting off with.
Well, and like one of them was like, well, I have to use the joysticks to move the player, to move the people around. I go, uh-huh. I'm used to playing sports games. That's how you move the people around in sports games.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be new for me, but we'll see. So I'm excited and interested to see what Red Dead Redemption 2 will bring.
Did you play the first one?
I've not. Oh. This is a prequel.
Right. Yeah. No. I'm just wondering if you played any of the other ones.
No. I play mostly sports games.
Yeah. It's one of those games. I wish I could play more of it.
This game
I wish
is.
I could play it all the time.
The game is really more up Leslie's alley than mine.
Yeah.
In fact, she's the one who said, "Oh, I should get that." So I was at Target. I'm like, "Do you want me to get it?" I'm standing right here in front of it.
Right here. And they don't have one thing that I want to buy. So
they don't
make this. Let's not make this a wasted trip.
Well, no, I got cat litter.
Oh, that's you need.
I
that.
Got cat litter. Although I'm concerned because there was less of the cat litter I normally get there than in previous trips. So I'm like, what now? First, you're going to take away my slow cooker liners, and then you're going to take away my cat litter?
Oh, fuck you,
that
Target.
That is a fucking bridge too far, my friend.
Come on, Target.
Bridge too far.
Don't make the USPS work out even harder, all right? Because he's going to have to get that 40-pound box.
I get the lightweight litter, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, fuck that shit.
Oh,
so, yeah. Video games.
Yes, sir.
I always get them on Black Friday.
Right.
But you couldn't get this one then.
Well, you could, but you'd still pay. This is not one they're probably going to discount.
No. Best Buy, all video games are generally 50% off.
You can buy like one and get two, like half price, something like that. Yeah.
Best Buy, all video games are usually 40% to 50% off on Black Friday.
But I will say, our Red Dead Redemption 2. Like, first of all, like, you still have to pay, like, I think almost full price for Grand Theft Auto 5, and that's 2 years old.
Right.
Red Dead Redemption, the way that you're getting discounts on this, you have to get it with the system. Like, if you buy it with a system, you get huge discounts on the system.
Sure.
Jason, I buy video games on Black Friday. Every year, Best Buy, on Black Friday, it will be half off.
All right. We'll have to look.
Or close to half off.
We'll have to look. It won't matter because I already have it.
Yeah. But I'm just saying for future reference.
So if I want to get WWE 2K19, I should wait until Black Friday.
You should wait that one for sure.
Here's the problem. Black Friday is the day I'm flying back from Vegas.
You can buy it online.
Yeah, and then the other thing is EA sometimes does the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to download it, you can do it that way.
Yeah, we're going to have to expand the memory on the PS4. Yeah.
You can get a terabyte hard drive for,
We got a 500 gig hard drive just sitting here.
Oh, okay.
So I'm good.
Yeah.
We're all good with that,
but
look, I have important grievances. Slow cooker liners. By the way, I love a good tri-tip. I really do. But a pulled pork, man, so much cheaper. Like, it was at Nugget. This is really exciting stuff. At Nugget, $2.99 a pound for a nice pork loin roast.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah.
So like $7.50. So the price of a sandwich, I got enough pork for like a week's worth of pulled pork.
Yeah.
So this is what my wife and I have been doing. We go to Costco, all right? And they have something called pork tri-tip.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like 2.5 pounds, like each bag, you get four of them for like, it was like 3 or 4 pounds each one. I mean, like, for you get it essentially for like $2, $2.25 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
And they are amazing.
Like, I don't know that I want that much pork. No. I know I can freeze it.
That's
I get
what we
it.
Do. We don't like going to Costco.
Well, that's because you don't go to the one in Woodland.
No, it's where we go. That's our secret. Oh, that's our secret one.
It's not a secret anymore.
No, I know.
Although it's still the best one.
It's still the best one.
Yeah.
Like it's the easiest to get in and out of.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, after CJ's, I just was there on this last Saturday, after swim lessons in Davis, we drive to Woodland. That's when we'll go and get our stuff because we load up on our chicken because you get a good price on chicken there. And the packs, it's pre-packed. Like, the thing about it is, like, you can get the big, huge barbecue or family packs, but then you have to package and freeze it all yourself. Whereas when you get the big packages like that at Costco like that, it's separated into, like, 2-pound servings, 3 pound servings for dinner. Anyhow,
this is really scintillating stuff. I'm sure. I'm sorry. Hey. I have to.
Florida, land of enchantment, and
I think you moved your
crazy shit.
Yeah, it's back.
This is Florida Corner.
All right. please hold. I need to unmute this. So many things going on with this webpage. But now I have it. The headline is Moms Brawl at School Bus Stop.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty Florida thing, right?
It is.
A brawl between two mothers at a school bus stop lands both of them in the hospital. A broken coffee mug used as a weapon. ABC Action News reporter Isabel Rosales talked to one of those women tonight.
With bandages wrapped around her arms, Tiffany Cruz defends why she smashed a coffee mug over the head of another mom.
It was self-defense over an incident that made no sense.
Northport police say it started over an argument about parenting, but Cruz claims they've had issues before. 2 weeks ago, she says she confronted that mom for yelling at another child, but this morning, it went too far.
My heart was raising up.
These brothers, 8 and 10 years old, saw it all happen. Cruz admits she hit the other mom with her mug. Police haven't identified the other woman.
Her face was bleeding and stuff.
That must have been really hard to see.
Mm-hmm. I looked away.
And I put my arm up like this, and I went to run, and that's when she picked up the glass, ran at me, and stabbed me.
The other woman airlifted away with a serious cut to her throat.
Why do you think it's self-defense?
Because she hit me. Like, she got this close to my face, nudged me with her nose, and when she nudged me with her nose, it was her fist was going up, so my fist went up.
Sarasota County Schools offering counselors to kids who saw the violent fight.
What do you think about that? About
okay, so one woman gets up in another woman's face. She then raises up her hand, smashes the coffee mug over this other woman's head.
Were those like Eskimo kisses?
They are Eskimo butterfly kisses. So then, after she gets hit over the head, she picks up a piece of glass, runs at the first woman, cuts her on the arms, but she's the one who has to get airlifted to the hospital because she's got cuts on her neck. So one woman busted a coffee mug over another woman's head, and then they essentially started cutting each other with the pieces at the bus stop.
What's going on, Florida?
Jason, I have to ask you this. How are school drop-offs going to go when CJ gets to be school age? Are you going to let Christine handle those?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Tell her make sure she has a shatterproof mug.
Oh, no. Christine will kill some bitches.
She'll cut a bitch.
I saw her almost do it on the soccer field. Like, I saw, she wanted to kick this chick's ass. Like, she wanted to, like, beat this chick's ass up for checking her during the game. Like, she was like, that fucking bitch is playing unfair. Like, I've never seen my wife so upset. Like, you don't want to get her pissed.
Okay. So here's the thing. Guys do stupid shit all the time.
Yes.
We get in fights, especially when we're younger. We get angry with each other. We get all chesty. No one goes from 0 to 1,000 faster than an angry woman.
True.
Call me sexist if you like, but there are other than mentally disturbed dudes, because it's not like she's crazy. No, just average, everyday, run of the mill, wouldn't think anything of it, ladies. One thing happens and boom, it's 0 to 1,000.
Yeah.
You never know which one it is. It could be this woman. A Florida woman, 42, nabbed after brazen crustacean heist at a Red Lobster. That's right. An intoxicated Florida woman plucked a live lobster from a tank at Red Lobster and bolted from the St. Petersburg restaurant with...
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. That's some comedy.
It really is. Hold on, I'll throw it up on the big screen for you, Kareem. Kimberly Gable, 42, yep, was drunk and causing a scene on Saturday, prompting a manager to ask her to leave for disturbing other customers. She was cursing as she headed to the Red Lobster's front door. Drunk at Red Lobster. Is there anything better? But before she left, Gable proceeded to reach into the water tank containing a live lobster, grabbed a lobster, and ran out of the restaurant. Now, responding to a 911 call about the lobster heist, a sheriff's deputy located Gable, who smelled of booze and was slurring her words. Continuing to curse, she denied knowledge of the pilfered lobster's whereabouts. She explained that since she was blacked out drunk, she did not care because she didn't do anything wrong at the Red Lobster. She was busted for disorderly intoxication, booked into the county jail on a misdemeanor count, subsequently released on a $100 bond. This will surprise no one. She has a lengthy rap sheet, including arrests for trespass, theft, drug possession, loitering, burglary, carrying an open container of alcohol, exposure of sexual organs, violating probation, domestic battery, defrauding an innkeeper, disorderly intoxication, drunk driving, and resisting an officer. Jailers have noted that Gable had tattoos on her back of dragon and koi fish. Koi fish.
Okay.
I was blackout drunk, so
I don't give a shit.
By the way, is this really something to call 911 for? This lady stole a lobster and ran out.
Thing.
I'm like, what? Really? 911 has nothing better to do in St. Petersburg, Florida?
I just wonder what she was
Florida?
Wearing that they had to put that blue shirt on her. Because you can see that she has something orange, like a little bit underneath. Like,
yeah.
I wonder what she was wearing. Like,
I wonder what she did with the lobster.
Threw it in the bushes. You know that.
Yeah,
she don't
roof.
Know.
She's on the roof. I wonder if she bit a hole in it before she threw it.
Also in Florida, and this could be my favorite Florida story of the day. A Florida man who identified himself to police as Ben Dover. That's right. Our old friend Ben Dover. Sorry. Oh boy. Oh, Ben Dover. Hold on. I need to collect myself for a moment. Ben Dover was arrested on obstruction charge for providing cops with a phony name. On a Tuesday, a sheriff's deputy asked a man to leave a park in Palm Harbor, which is a St. Petersburg suburb. In the arrest affidavit, the cop noted that John Chestnut Park closed at 6 p.m., and as such, he was preparing to issue a trespass warrant to a park goer. Asked to identify himself, the defendant responded by stating his name was Ben Dover. The man then gave the cop the middle finger and got in the deputy's face as if he was going to hit him. The man then fled on foot and was apprehended after a short chase. Dover, it turns out, was actually Andrew Layton, a 22-year-old Palm Harbor resident. He was charged with two misdemeanors, obstruction by a disguised person, and resisting an officer. He was released from the county jail after posting $300 bail. The Smoking Gun notes that Phil McCracken, Haywood Jablomi, and Dick Gozinia could not be reached for comment on the arrest.
Dick Gozinia.
Dick Gozinia.
I love Mr. Gozinia.
Mr.
Hey, do you have any... is Mr. Gozinia in there?
Mr. Gozinia.
Is he there? Who? Dick Gozinia.
Yes. Richard Gozinia? He goes by Dick.
He goes by Dick.
Goes by Dick.
You just see if he's in there right now. You see.
Thank you, Florida. And thank you, Flo Rida. What the hell's going on here? I opened up a weird browser window with a bunch of tabs, including something to buy Kaboom.
Yummy.
Let's close all of them. I'm somehow opening up. I opened up Walmart.com. I think it heard me.
Oh, yeah.
It heard me, and it knows. And it knows.
Is there a Haywood here? Haywood Jablomi? Oh, I see what they did. Sorry about that. Nope. No Mr. Jablomi here.
Mr. Jablomi. All right. I don't know if this is good news or bad news. But KFC is now doing chicken and waffles. Good news. I
had the time of my life. No, I never felt this way before.
It's a colonel dancing with a giant Mrs. Butterworth's bottle. Kareem, I don't really know if this is racist, but it's certainly disturbing.
The most delicious union of all time. New Kentucky Fried Chicken and Waffles for a limited time at KFC.
Okay, so it's for a limited time. They're pairing the extra crispy fried chicken with Mrs. Butterworth's maple flavored syrup and Belgian Liege style waffles. Prices start at $5.49. As fried chicken experts, we had the chicken part covered. We went through 15 different variations before landing on our unique Belgian waffle, which is sweeter and doughier than American style waffles. That's according to Bob Doss, the head chef for KFC US. Is that really a great position? I'm a head chef. Where? Oh, KFC US.
I've met a guy that was a corporate chef for Jack in the Box.
Well, that sounds awesome because Jack in the Box has the best fucking stuff.
Yeah, they just got high. They really did just get high.
Well, sure.
And make like be like, hey, let's make this.
Yeah, well, who's their customer base? Their drive-thru's open 24 hours. Half of their marketing is just the high guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but being the head chef of chicken, like, kids are like, chicken. Fried chicken.
Now, it's also available as a sandwich featuring KFC's Sweet Heat Honey Fried Chicken as a breast filet between two waffles for $5.99.
I didn't see that advertised.
Well,
I might have gotten that.
So I think the question is, Kareem, would you try the KFC chicken and waffles?
No.
Why not?
They barely get chicken right at this point.
I don't even know that they do.
So, no.
I'm on a boycott of the one here in West Sac because you walk in there, it just looks dirty.
Yeah. And that's where most of them look now.
Yeah, I can't do it. If your restaurant looks filthy, I cannot.
Luckily, there's one in Folsom by the Palladio. So that one's clean.
Look, I will occasionally hit the Popeyes up on Stockton Boulevard.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hit Popeyes more than I do
that
KFC
one,
now.
That one is really nice inside.
If there was a Popeyes, see, I had to stop eating Popeyes eventually. I would
because
eat
because your intestines were going to bleed out?
Yeah, because I eat way too much hot. Like, I use like a packet of hot sauce.
Oh, my God.
Each one.
He gets
like,
the hot. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I get the mild.
My butthole hurt. Like, yeah. It hates me the next day.
Dude,
like,
their barbecue sauce is spicy as all fuck, too.
Oh, but their chicken's so good. Their spicy chicken is so good.
Well, their mild chicken's pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Man. That spicy chicken, though, with some hot sauce and a little bit of. Oh,
I think we know
and
what
they're doing. And their jambalaya, too. Like, I like their jambalaya also because you can just add some hot sauce to that.
Hey, I guess I know what I'm getting to get on my way home.
I wish there was one closer to my house. Like, there's a Church's, but,
yeah, there are two Popeyes over by.
I've never waited longer in a drive-through line than I waited at the Church's Chicken.
Oh, yeah, it's so long.
No, it wasn't a long line. There were only two people in front of me. It's just slow.
It's slow.
Yeah.
It's slow
as fuck. That's why I don't go there.
No. Will you be trying the KFC chicken and waffles?
Oh, man. So I had a trek there today, and I went there specifically to get that.
That's a yes.
And then I decided to get the crispy chicken sandwich instead. Because I saw it, and I was just like, I felt like if I ate it, like part of my soul died. And then as I was driving back, I saw a sign for Kiki's. So if there's a Kiki's that's going to be opening up over there, I will be going there all the time.
I will tell you, there's a couple of places that make a really good chicken and waffles in Sac. They're not fast food. Cafeteria 15L, their chicken and waffles is good.
Eh.
And The Porch, their chicken and waffles are really good.
I would try. I'm telling you, if you get a chance to go to Kiki's, have you been to Kiki's before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they have the best.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a chicken place. There's one on in Atomas.
And then there's one on Auburn Boulevard.
Yeah, and then there's one that's, I think, opened up in Folsom also now. But they have, for my birthday 2 or 3 years ago, that's where we went. Like, and that's by far my I think the best in town. But I could be. South has really good chicken too, but
they don't do chicken and waffles.
They don't do chicken and waffles there. But and I heard there's another chicken.
Well, there's a chicken and there's the chicken and waffle place in Natomas.
Natomas, yeah.
It's just chicken and waffles.
It's good though.
And I mean, they're like, "Why go to L.A.?" And I'm like, "What?"
Well, they have other stuff. They have like soul food in there. So
we're at chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Kiki's isn't soul food. Like it's chicken.
Yeah, it's chicken and waffles.
It's chicken and waffles.
Yeah, and French fries and French baked fries. Beans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to Roscoe's when we went to Disneyland. It was overrated.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about food, I think we should do this.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town that
time.
That's right. Marilyn Haggerty has a review for you. Headline, Eat Meat, Dinner at UMC Better Than the Best in New York City.
Get the fuck out of here.
The goodness of the gardens and the skill of area chefs combined to create a memorable November dinner. It was held at the University of Minnesota Crookston, and it was one of the finest meals ever experienced on the Eat Meat. Wow, better than the Olive Garden?
Mm.
Student talks were featured between courses. Caleb Rempe, a senior at UMC, says this year's tomato crop was great. Carrots were good, and there were lots of onions. He was the overseer, I don't like that word, of the gardens. Kareem, how do you feel about the word overseer?
Overseer, officer.
I don't...
Officer, overseer.
I don't think we should be using the term overseer anymore.
No.
Anyway, he looked after the gardens in the greenhouse during the summer. His group took vegetables to the Crookston Farmer's Market. The goodness of the harvest was celebrated at the college the first weekend of November. As a paying guest, I found the meal one of the very finest I've ever eaten. Anywhere. Even when I went viral 6 years ago and dined at places such as Le Bernardin... Le Bernardin and the Dovetail in New York City. The meal at Crookston began with a Minnesota version of ceviche, a pan-seared walleye with a pickled cucumber, beauty heart radish and red onion topped with sweet corn, grilled sweet corn, smoked heirloom tomato, and roasted red pepper relish. It was accompanied by a fried corn tortilla and finished with dill aioli, micro dill, and corn shoots.
What?
Corn shoots! Hold on. I can't.
Depends on what kind you eat.
Corn sheets. He got some corn sheets.
I don't like this idea of something being called ceviche when it's pan-seared. Like, that's not ceviche then. That's something else. Oh, son of a fucking bitch. I thought we were going to get through the... God damn it.
And that was just the beginning of the four-course meal served by UMC staff and students prepared by executive chef Shane Halverson of UMC, along with chef Caleb Timp of Luther College and Ned Price, manager of dining services at UMC. Also part of the team was Sean Tuckwell, executive chef at Crown College in southern Minnesota. Dinner served to 192 guests. Tickets were $75, sold out a week before the event, which this year replaced traditional torch and shield banquet. Guests included area graduates and supporters of the college. That's right, Caleb Rempel was the first of four students to tell their stories between courses. He said when he came to UMC from the small town of Mountain Lake, Minnesota, because he's comfortable in small-sized classes, he felt accepted and was able to create meaningful relationships. Jesus, this sounds awful. When he graduates with a major in agronomy in the spring, he's thinking of moving west, probably to Oregon. Well, I think he'll fit in there fine. His greeting was in the form of a welcome. Other students who spoke between courses included Chase Knickerbocker. That sounds made up. A senior in finance from Annandale, Minnesota. Also Bruno Marques, a junior majoring in international business and finance. He's from Brazil. Speaking briefly between courses were Amber Johnson, a sophomore in agriculture communications, and Reed Akins, a senior from Minneapolis studying health sciences. Reed Akins presented his student address before dessert. And there was a student video by Austin Summerfield. Mixed greens tossed with roasted beets and butternut squash were the base of the salad course. It was served with a grilled sourdough baguette. Entree items, beef bourguignon stew followed by buttermilk brined roast turkey breast with pan gravy, This was served over roasted garlic, braised kale, and onions, along with whipped potatoes. The dish was finished with a micro kale and citrus with wine, macerated cranberries. The leisurely, well-paced dinner closed with a dessert of blackberry rhubarb tart. There was a pecan crust and a vanilla bean whipped cream, and it was garnished with smoked pecans, wine macerated blackberries, and maple syrup. A lot of macerating.
Mm-hmm. Guests, why are you masturbating wine?
I don't know. Guests were seated at three long tables. Wines were presented by the University of Minnesota alumni Dwayne and Susan Hoff, who operate Fantesco Estate and Winery in California. Oh, he's a son of a longtime Crookston resident and UMC faculty, Dave and Irene Foss. The dinner moved along with time for conversation. Talks by students were brief. Servings were appropriately sized. In her remarks, Chancellor Mary Holtz-Claus said the farm-to-table dinner was a celebration of food grown in northern Minnesota, along with select wines from California and choice meats from Alexandria, Minnesota. We look forward to making this an annual event and seeing you next year, she said. That's right, farm-to-table dining, University of Minnesota, Crookston. The report card, students and staff of the University of Minnesota Crookston rate the honor roll with their first farm-to-table dinner. It was an elegant four-course meal served to perfection. It features food grown by student, alumni, and friends. Quite the glowing review from Marilyn.
I mean, in FYI, macerating just means that you're softening up and bringing out the natural juices like of the berry that you're...
Look, they were macerated.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's like you can macerate with wine, you can macerate with sugar in like you know water, like a sugar water.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet you macerate with all kinds of things.
You can actually macerate like strawberries just by sprinkling some sugar on top.
Mm.
Just put some sugar on top. You know what I'm saying?
You got to pour some sugar on me.
Yep.
You gotta go ahead and do that.
Just on the tip. Just dip the tip.
You're macerating. You're a macerating fool. I'm surprised you.
I macerate all the time.
I'm surprised your palms are.
Oh, you want to smell?
No.
Oh, all right. That's insane. This song's all about macerating.
It is. Alright, well that's going to do it for this episode of the show. I hope everybody had a good time through our little meanderings of a show.
A little
bit of meandering about. We had important things to talk about.
Important stuff.
And non-important stuff. By the way, something else I want to mention before we go. I happened to note this as I was messaging and looking through Facebook earlier today. It was another story about googly eyes. There have been a lot of stories about googly eyes in the news this year.
Hmm.
So I've created a Google News alert for googly eyes.
Oh, okay.
So we don't miss any of them.
Yeah, it's not.
Apparently the latest one is someone put googly eyes on fish to make them seem fresh.
Oh,
see? That's good stuff.
I need to buy some googly eyes.
Right? There was the town in, I believe it was in Georgia, where someone put googly eyes on one of their historical statues. That upset some people.
Oh, man. So maybe you should go put some on Sutter.
Listen, whatever you do, I can't advocate doing anything with googly eyes, but I just like saying googly eyes.
Oh, I'm going to put googly eyes on the golden bear. It's in front of cow. It wasn't me, but I'm going to do it.
Maybe one of these times when Harry Giles goes down to play in Stockton, they'll put the googly eyes on him, too.
Oh, there you go.
He was only there for 5 minutes.
Well, he scored 30 points, so. He's like, I don't want to be here anymore. Swish, swish, swish. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Be good. Next week, we will have shows. We're recording Monday, yes?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so we will have shows next week.
Oh, yeah.
Have yourself a safe weekend. If you're around SAC, be careful outside with all the smoke and such. Hopefully by now it's sort of weeded out. But
hopefully.
Be careful macerating.
Yes, you don't want to. You don't want to hurt yourself. If you macerate too much, you'll chafe.
Yeah, well, you don't want to dissolve those berries too much.
It's true. Be careful with the berries when you're macerating. See you next time.